Good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. We're in the fourth Pasuk. The Pasuk says, as we've been learning, Daresha Semer Upishtim, that the Eshet Chayil looks for wool and for flax. The simple reading of the words is that she's looking to make clothing for her children. That's the simple translation. Till now, we've been learning more of a mashal that semer represents love and pishtan, flax, represents strength. But on a simple reading of the pasuk, the Eshet Chayil is out there in the shuk. She's out there in the market. And she's looking to find good wool. And she's looking to find good flax so she can make wool clothing and linen clothing for her children, for her family. That's the simple explanation. So what's so special about an Eshet Chayil that she's looking for wool and for flax? What makes her unique in that way? What makes this woman so special that she's looking to buy material to make clothing for her family? Gemara says, Chazal tell us, the Mishnah says, that one of the things that one of the things the Mishnah says that women are obligated to do for their marriage, for their home, is that they need to make clothing. It's an obligation of a woman. Maybe today it's a little different. Today we buy things already finished in the store. But in days past, it wasn't like that. It's hard to believe, but you can't go to a store and look for dresses and look for clothing. It didn't work like that. People bought material and they make clothing according to the needs of their home. And whose job was that? That was the woman's job. So besides making the food and taking care of the home in that way, she also had to make the clothing for the family. It's one of the obligations that a woman has in a marriage. Of course, a man has his own obligations. So what is so special about an Eshet Chayil that we're describing? Oh, the great woman. She's going to look for wool and linen so she can make clothing. Big deal. Every single woman that gets married has that obligation. What makes her a special Eshet Chayil? So over here, the Mitzudat David says, Darsha be'atzma. Something interesting. He says she looks herself. Meaning, she doesn't go and send someone to get her the wool and linen. He's stressing be'atzma. She goes herself to look for wool and flax, litzvot otan, so she could make clothing from these materials. He says, Aim, even though, ki en al ha'isha, ela litzvot, which means a woman has an obligation to take string and make material from those strings. Ve'lo lachzor achareihen. She's not obligated to go look for the material. That's what the Mitzudot David says. a woman is obligated to make the clothes. She's not obligated to go look for the material to make them. The materials she has to get. And then she will be the one making the clothing. There's something here that I think is very big. I don't know if I have full clarity, but with your help, I'm going to get Be'ezrat Hashem. We find over here that the Eshet Chayil, first of all, she goes to buy wool, not yarn. Wool is off the sheep's body. Pishtan is raw material. She's usually, when people go to buy clothing, they already buy to make clothing, they buy the material already made. And if they're going to make the material, they buy yarn. How many people do you know go buy wool? Wool in its raw state needs a lot of work before you turn it into
fabric,
yarn and into fabric, and then you can make clothing out of it. Darsha semer upishtim. She goes to look for the wool and the flax. Why would she do that? Why is she wasting her time? Why does she go to a store and get the material so that she can make whatever she wants to make? What is she wasting her time? Why are we looking for the raw material and wasting our time when we can go and buy the material made and make clothing out of it? Darisha semer upishtim. Why? What's so special about that? Someone has any answer? This pasuk reminds us of a very famous Gemara. The Gemara says that one great rabbi, his name is Rabbi Chiya, he said, I'm doing something in my life every day to ensure that Torah will not be forgotten in Am Yisrael. What a statement. What could Rabbi Chiya possibly do to ensure? He says to ensure that Torah will not be forgotten in Am Yisrael. What did he do? Did he give money to yeshivot? Did he build Bate Midrashot? What did he do? If I told you, do something to ensure that Torah will not be forgotten in Am Yisrael, where would you start? So says the Gemara, he says, I went and I made nets. I took
fish,
flax. I made nets. I used the nets to go hunt the deer. I took the deer that I caught and I took from them the hide. On the hide, I wrote a Sefer Torah. I wrote 5 Hamisha Homshe Torah. And I would take those scrolls and I would go from city to city and teach young children from these scrolls. That's what he says. I think anybody who sees that or would see him would tell him that you wasted a long period of time in areas that aren't necessary. Instead of teaching children Torah, you spent, you know, how many days and hours and who knows how many weeks in hunting for the deer and what are you doing? Making the nets. It's a waste of time. If you don't want Torah to be forgotten, take a book off the shelf and go teach people. Instead, you became a weaver and a hunter and a person who's involved with leather. What are you doing? What a waste of time. You know how many students you could have taught in that time period before you were able to make your own book? There are plenty of books on the shelf. Why did Rabbi Hiya do that? And how did that guarantee that there would be Torah in Am Yisrael? And the answer is that Rabbi Hiya understood that there is an ingredient that is invisible. That makes all the difference in the world of holiness. There is an invisible ingredient that nobody could see, but makes all the difference in the results. And that is when things that are physically being used are made with purity of mind. Me and you, we don't see the difference. And nobody could see the difference physically. But when something is made with purity, it has the power to affect in a very big way. That means this Sefer Torah that he is going around with, because at every point from the inception of the physical reality of this Torah, from the beginning, every step of the way was done purely for the mission of teaching Torah to the children of the Jewish people. That Sefer Torah, when it's used by a young boy, will be able to give tremendous power. And if someone would take another Sefer Torah, which is just as nice and just as beautiful, but doesn't have that purity from the Shoresh, from the source, it wouldn't have the same effect. If we weren't told about this, we would say it's not real. I open a Gemara. What's the difference? The book that I'm reading from. We would say these things don't exist. They don't matter because they're invisible. But remember that the most important things in life are invisible. Love in a relationship is invisible. You can't see it. You could see the effects of it, but you can't see love. Most important part of a relationship, invisible. You look at a person, the most important part of him is invisible. It's his wisdom. When you look at a person, there's something about him that makes him either very precious or very cheap. It's his wisdom. His wisdom will get him very far in life, or the lack of it will get him very, very far away from success. But wisdom is invisible. You may see the effects of it, but you don't see wisdom. Good character is invisible. The most important part of a person's interactions is his character. You don't see it. You don't see the character. You may see its effects, but you don't see the character. So it should not be shocking that there are things in life that are invisible, that are important. So therefore, it should not be surprising to any of us that physical material can be very, very precious, or the same material could be very cheap. And the difference is something invisible. What's the invisible part of it? What was the intent of the person who made it? What was he thinking about? Was it done with purity? Was it done with ulterior motives? When the person made the hide for the Sefer Torah, what was his intention? You know, in halakha, by the way, it's halakha l'maaseh. When it comes to making a Sefer Torah, it has to be done lishma. It's an invisible part of the kashrut of a Sefer Torah. That when the sofer, for example, writes the words, they could be the most stunning words. But if he's not thinking purely that this writing is for the holiness of a Sefer Torah, then the Sefer Torah is pasul. And you would never know because it looks beautiful. That's why when you buy a Sefer Torah, it has to be from someone who's God-fearing. So at least you have what to rely on, that the things that are supposed to happen invisibly actually happen. How are you supposed to know? But it's amazing the difference between a Sefer Torah that's kasher and pasul is invisible. There's no way to know when you look at it. But we're learning today more than that, that the effect of that Sefer Torah is going to be different. The intent that you put in, the physical items of the world that are important, make a very big difference in how powerful they are in reaching your destination. For example, there is a very big difference between feeding our children with the food that we make or feeding them from restaurants. Now, one might say the difference is, here's a lazy mother, doesn't like to work, and therefore she buys her food already made. The most we could see is a lazy person. Instead of working, she's buying ready food. But that's like the least part of the problem. There's a much bigger issue here. It's that the food itself has the ability to connect the mother to her children. Through the food, they develop a love for her. They develop a certain connection to her. Through the food, they get closer to her and to her purity and to her goals. A mother has goals for her children. In order for the child to be able to get to those goals, he needs to connect to her. Hashem made that the physical world is the medium between the invisible world. Which means we have a physical relationship, but really It's only to allow the invisible to connect. A marriage is a physical relationship. But the physical relationship is just to allow the invisible to pass from one side to the other. A mother has a lot to offer her children in the way of holiness, in the way of chokhmah, wisdom, in the way of guidance. A woman was given tremendous wisdom for her children's future. But there needs to be some physical in between for that to go through. One of the things is food. Physical food can make my children connect to my wisdom?
The answer is yes.
But it all depends on how the food got to their mouth. When the woman works to make the food for her family, plus, as she's making it, she has, like the sofer of a Sefer Torah, when he's writing, he says, I am, behold, right now coming to write for the holiness of the Sefer Torah. And that's how I'm writing the Sefer Torah. When a woman is in her kitchen and she is making the food and she has intentions of lishma. What does it mean, lishma, in making food? What does that mean? The same way by Sefer Torah, what does it mean? It means I'm not just writing letters. I'm writing letters for the purpose of holiness. So too, when a mother feeds her children, she says in her mind, I'm making food so I can sustain them physically to be a holy child. Why am I cooking for my children? Just because they're hungry and otherwise they would pass out? No. I have a much higher purpose. I need to sustain my children because, like Chachamim teach us, im en kemah en Torah. If a person doesn't have a way to sustain physically himself, there's no way for him to elevate himself spiritually. So why am I feeding my children? Because they're starving? No, that's not why. For that, you can order from the restaurant. I'm feeding my children so I can sustain them because they have a higher purpose. When I make the hide of the Sefer Torah, I'm not just making a piece of leather. Someone makes a piece of leather, they can't use it for a Sefer Torah. Too late. It was made for no purpose. The person making the hide says, this is for Sefer Torah. It's being made for a higher purpose. And now all of a sudden, it can do its job. A woman in her kitchen can make food for a higher purpose. I'm not just giving my children food because they're hungry. I'm giving them food because I want to sustain them for a higher purpose. I want to give them what they need so they can become great people. They can learn Torah. How are they going to learn Torah if they don't eat? So they can fulfill mitzvot. So that they could be kind They can develop their character. How will they do that if they're hungry? I'm sustaining my children so that they can become something great.
Or
such a mindset. When a woman is making dinner, elevates her family. People listening to this will say, come on, this is ridiculous. What are you talking about here? It's the same kibbeh. So Hashem gave us a little bit of a understanding to something that may be hard to believe. Because you talk to anybody, most of the time, they will tell you that their mother's food, the best. We can guarantee that his mother's food is not the best. For sure, the chef in the restaurant with his expertise is better. No, it's not the same. Not the same. I can't explain it to you, but it's not the same. The lady next door, much better. Not like my mother. I can't explain. It's not the same. What's not the same? It's the same pasta. They use the same cookbook. How could your mother's food be better? The answer is, there is an invisible connection to the child and the mother who made food for him. And because she made it for him, he feels something in that food. He wouldn't know what to say. He can't tell you what spice is extra. But it's better. That's all he can tell you. It's better. What's better about it? What's better is the invisible part of the love that went into the food for him. Hashem gave us that just so we have an understanding. And when we hear a class like this, we say, oh, wow, right, I hear. There is an invisible factor. So maybe there's more than just my mother's food is good. What an unbelievable piece of advice for every person, that when you're doing something physically, it matters what you're doing and why you're doing it. The what you're doing is easy, but why you're doing it, we don't think about it because we only see physical. What's the difference? The Eshet Hayil, who's in her kitchen and is worried about her children's future. She wants them to be wise, make good decisions. They should grow to be holy people. They should be upstanding. They should be pure. They should be great. And she says, what can I do? And she opens up her Tehillim and she prays for her children as she should. But little does she know that the potatoes that she's making can make the biggest difference. When she's buying the food ready-made, she lost a tremendous opportunity. She blew it. Imagine having something in your hand to help your children, and you say, yeah, not necessary. You have the chance to infuse them with your holiness and your wisdom, to connect them to you through the food, just like we connect to Hashem through the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah that's not written for a holy purpose can't connect you to Hashem. It can only connect you to the Sefer Torah. You'll read it, you'll understand it, that's it. But if it's made for a holier purpose, it becomes a middle item to connect you to Hashem. A woman is dying to reach her children. She wants them to connect to what she sees is valuable for them. It's through the food. And it would be a tremendous accomplishment that as much of the food that could be made by her is made by her. That's the beauty of this Eshet Chayil. She's not just taking yarn or material, which also could be made for a higher purpose. But she wants to go all the way from the beginning. She wants to take the wool off the sheep. She doesn't want to buy anything that's already made. She wants to crush her own spices. She wants to pick them off the tree if she can. She wants every part of the process to be done with the same pure goal and mindset. Because she realizes that every single thought counts. So although if she had potatoes and she made something good out of them, that would also be good. But what would be better if she actually took the potatoes from where they were. And if she could plant potatoes, that'd be even better. The more she can go to the roots and every single part can be made with purity, she understands it makes a difference. Maybe in our world, it's not so practical to go get sheep and take the wool off of them. But at some level, there is a possibility to take something physical and upgrade it. What an unbelievable yesod this is. Whoever thought that through the food a woman makes, she's inspiring her children. She's elevating them. She's connecting them to her and her to something higher. What a responsibility. The husband's all day sitting and learning. And what she could do with her dinner. Why am I cooking? I'm cooking for a higher purpose. I'm cooking so my children could be sustained and my husband could be sustained so he can develop the ability to live a higher life. I'm feeding my children so they have the strength to serve God, the strength to learn Torah, the strength to be great people. The Eshet Chayil takes this as a tremendous opportunity to elevate her family. We're talking about food. This is a next level the Pasuk is talking about. Making clothing for them. That's a hard thing today. So, women used to make clothing for their children. There used to be more respect for parents. Could be connected. A mother used to make clothing for her children. What they were wearing is something she made for them. But imagine not only feeding them an hour a day through lunch and dinner and breakfast, but imagine all day long they're wearing the clothing that she made for them. That's probably beyond our reality today. I'm not sure if today women are capable of making clothing for their children. It's probably a task that's beyond their ability. Making a coracha is very nice. It's a something. But even buying it for the right reason could be something. It's not, it's probably not that powerful, but it's something. In the world of spirituality, even something counts. But this is the great Eshet Chayil. Darisha Semer Ufishtim. Not only does she make the clothing, she's looking from the start that she should infuse purpose in every step of the process, which will come out to a result of elevation and connection to a higher purpose on a much higher level. Beautiful. That's why it says in the Mitzvot, Darsha Be'atzma. She wants it. She's not buying things if she could do it herself. And even though her obligation is only to make the clothing, but she knows that there is a higher way of making clothing. This is really not only for a mother, it's for every person. The more a person has the right intent in what they do in life, the higher elevation they will receive. Person goes to work. They work. L'shem Shamayim. They work in order that Hashem should give them parnasah so they could take care of their children, that they should be great people. Hashem gives them parnasah so they could give tzedakah. They could help people. They could do more mitzvot. They could learn more because of it. It makes for a different kind of work. Everything we do in this world that's mundane, if we have the right intent of elevation, it makes a difference. Whether it's going to work, whether it's teaching a student, whether it's eating, whether it's making food, whatever we do physically with the right intent turns into something else, something more powerful. That's the greatness of the Eshet Chayil. How wonderful.